Transportation Subcommittee comes to order. And we're doing a work session on Senate Bill 100. And we'll begin with a wonderful clerk, our chief clerk, who's going to come forward and she's going to kind of explain what happened in the Senate and what we're supposed to do about it.
Those senators.
Easy there, Randall.
We understood that when it went to the House, it would be sent to Ways and Means. It's part of the journey in the House.
Exactly.
And it didn't happen.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ramona Kennedy, and I'm chief clerk of the House. And I've been requested to come before your committee by the chair to sort of help explain what options are available to you now that you have in your possession Senate Bill 100. And the good news is that you do have some options. From what I understand in the Senate, that when Senate Bill 100 was brought before you, that there was a motion to concur. And that motion, along with the bill, was then the rules were suspended to allow for referral to the Ways and Means Committee, and since then has been referred into your subcommittee. Mason's Section 766, which takes under consideration conferences concerning amendments, has a provision that allows a body to send to a committee an amended bill to request their recommendation as to whether or not the committee should concur or not concur. And that's found in provision subsection 3. It is proper for a House, upon receiving an amended bill with a request to concur, to refer the message with the bill to a committee for consideration and a report upon concurrence. So what's really before you is that message that came from the House, your request as it was made as a motion to concur. And so your action today will be whether or not to recommend back to the Senate whether or not they should concur and repass this measure, or whether you believe that a conference committee should be appointed by not concurring. No action can be taken on the measure as far as any amendments to it. And because the concurrence motion was before you, it brought with it to you the House amendments. So it is still intact as you received it from the House with those amendments. And the action that you need to take under consideration today as to whether or not you would recommend as a committee that the bill be returned to the Senate with a recommendation to concur, a recommendation to not concur, which would then put it into a conference committee. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
I'm sure. I think that one of the things that would be satisfying to the Senate is as they respond to our recommendation as to whether to concur or not to concur, would be if we gave them some understanding of how we would deal with the small amount of expenses that are involved with this bill as they affect the Department of Education. So I think we ought to talk about that issue.
Ramona, so what we actually have in front of us is the Ahengross bill.
You have before you the bill.
The Ahengross bill.
The Ahengross bill.
Even though we have not concurred in the House amendments to the Ahengross bill.
Because the motion was made to concur.
Yeah.
Basically what you sent to this committee was that motion to ask this committee to recommend back to the Senate whether they believe that it's appropriate to concur or not.
Yeah. Okay, so we make a recommendation, whatever it is, and it goes to the full Ways and Means, correct?
Correct.
And then it goes back to the floor.
Correct.
And assuming that we recommended concurrence, and the full Ways and Means recommended concurrence, we still have the opportunity on the floor of the Senate to not concur and appoint a conference committee?
Yes. The Senate has the options to either take your recommendation or not.
Okay. Thank you.
So I understand this is important. Really a procedural vote. Not about the money. It's not about. So what I guess the fundamental issue is whether by not concurring in this committee, it just forces a conference committee here. versus if you let it go to the Senate floor, which if they don't concur, is that correct?
This committee doesn't have, this committee can only make a recommendation. If you were to recommend to not concur out of this committee, you need to forward that recommendation to the Senate. Only the Senate can decide whether a conference committee is going to be appointed or not.
Okay, so it's a message.
It's a message.
So it doesn't go to the full. It just goes from here to the back to the full.
No, it has to go back to the full. You are an agent of the full committee. It has been assigned to your subcommittee to look at it.
Yeah.
And to take under consideration whether you believe that that recommendation you then recommend to the full then either, with assuming they will accept your recommendation, will send it to the Senate. It's no different than you dealing with a bill and recommending out of this committee to the full.
One last point then, at the full, I mean, in some ways our recommendation then could be changed by the full, which then could send the next message up the chain, is that correct?
My guess is that if the full wanted to, depending on how you are structured here in Ways and Means, that if in fact the full wanted to change a recommendation, typically what happens is it goes back to the sub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you know they've not accepted.
That what you're saying?
So
okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
So, Madam Chair. So if we recommend not to concur, then that is a recommendation that could go from the full back to the Senate. If we recommend to concur, so what difference does it make? If they're going to make the decision anyway, so what difference does it make what we say?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, I guess that that's a political question, and the Senate has requested you to look at this, and they've requested you to make a recommendation. I wouldn't try to guess of whether or not they would accept that or what the reasoning behind this motion is. So I will leave that with the committee.
Chair.
Senator Schultz.
It's interesting, just a process question. We don't have full possession of the bill, right? We can't do what we want to with the bill. If we wanted to amend the bill, we couldn't do that.
That is correct.
That's what you're telling us. We don't.
That's correct.
All right.
Senator Gordon?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Would an appropriate motion then be to concur and appoint a conference committee?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, if you concur, then it doesn't place it in a conference committee. It means you are in agreement with the amendments that came from the House. So in order to get it into a conference committee, you would have to not concur so that all of the substance of that measure would then be placed in the conference committee for consideration.
Any other questions? Okay, Madam Chair. Representative Ross.
I'd request a 4-minute recess.
Representative Ross requests a 4-minute recess. Recess for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
Well, I'd like to leave out.
Wow. Good morning.
Well, actually, we're waiting for you to get
started.
We wanted to go to recess with you. You're fun at recess.
We're going to ask our LFO staff to kind of go through just real quickly costs and how they were arrived at.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members of the committee, I've distributed for you a fiscal impact statement from our office, and this was prepared with input from the Department of Education on the fiscal impact of Senate Bill 100 being engrossed. And the effect on expenditures in 1999-01 is expected to be $252,252, with a need for one FTE education specialist and one FTE administrative assistant. And basically, those costs would be incurred because additional staff would be needed to help the board in the application and approval process with the charter school applicants, and then in awarding and managing the grants to the charter schools, and then providing technical assistance to charter schools as well. And there would also be some development of administrative rules. The engross measure also provides for the department to become a charter school sponsor under certain circumstances, and if that were to happen, then the department anticipates there could be additional costs for staff in carrying out those duties. And at this time, the Legislative Fiscal Office, of course, would recommend that you not do anything with an appropriation. The department could either come back to the emergency board should the bill pass, or when you revisit the Department of Education's budget later on, you could make an additional appropriation for this bill in that budget.
Madam Chair, Senator Burgess, does the Department of Education fully agree with this fiscal analysis?
Madam Chair and Senator Gormley, I would hope so, because we prepared it with their input, and we do have a representative, Joanne Flint, from the department, who could come up and address the numbers if you would like.
I just needed to hear that there's full agreement. If that's the case, then no further explanation is required.
Madam Chair.
Representative
Flint. And this is General Fund Dollars. Do you know what our timeline is for the federal dollars for charter schools? What our outer times for applying to those are?
Madam Chair and Representative Winters, I would like to invite Joanne Flint up to address that question, if I may.
Joanne Flint, Oregon Department of Education. I have with me today Randy Harnish, who has worked with our charter school federal grant when we were a recipient of it earlier in this process. We have not received the application for this year for charter schools. We understand that they should be out momentarily, available momentarily, and they would be due June 1st. That's the best information we have at this time.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Madam Chair, along with I'm not here to speak for Chairman of the House Education Committee, but in our discussion yesterday, he says that these costs would be paid by the school districts who requested charter schools out of the regular ADM appropriation. Now, I haven't had a chance to discuss that with you, Joanne, or Randy. And if that isn't what his contention would be, that the budget for the Oregon Department of Education could or would take care of us. We have no idea how many charter school grants we will be requesting. Number one, we have to have a law on the books. And as Joanne said, the window of opportunity supposedly started April 15th. They don't have the grants yet, but it closes on the 1st of June, I believe it is, yes. And so there is, you know, I don't agree with what the expenditures, how they're listed here. Chairman Sunseri does not agree. The one thing I do agree on is that we sent Senate Bill 108 goes through the House with the understanding that it would go to Ways and Means, and for all the reasons I don't know it, it didn't happen. And so that's why we're back here, and I would appreciate a recommendation to the whole committee that they concur so we can get it back on the floor of the Senate and have the discussion of concurrence or not concurrence and appointment of a conference committee.
Any other discussion? What would
you say? I would tend to, if it's appropriate to move, that we recommend concurrence.
Thank you. I understand. The reason why this was sent down here was more of a technical issue in the Senate. That is, it had a fiscal greater than.
The President of the Senate agreed that anything with more than a $50,000 fiscal impact would come down. And when the bill came back to us, I assumed that it had been taken care of one way or another. I didn't ask specifically, but that's why it's down.
So, therefore, we're just touching that piece of it, although we're not appropriating money. It's just
exactly.
I'm sure.
Senator
I wanted to explore with you folks. Senator Hartung had the understanding from the chair of the House Committee that somehow or other that there could be a flow of money back to the department to pay for these positions. But were you ever asked before the House Committee about what it would take the department to administer this program and the need for these positions? And did they consider that? Were you there and were you involved in a discussion of this with them?
Madam Chair, Senator Trow, I honestly am not positive that we never had those discussions, but I can explain to you at this point that there really are, I think, two possible ways of explaining any confusion that may exist.
And you get money back from the districts who want charter schools to fund these positions? I think that would be very awkward. I don't know how you could do that, but maybe you can. Is there some way to do that?
I'm sure, Senator Trow, there are two possibilities. They would not encompass all of the charter schools. One possibility would be those charter schools that, if we were eligible for the charter school federal grant application and received those dollars, we in fact could receive some dollars through that federal grant process for administration of those grants. Those would only be for those charter schools that were awarded those grant dollars. Another
a large percentage of the charter schools, or is that just a few?
Andy, do you know how many?
At the last grant application, we had approximately 27 grants out. So it could be a fairly significant number.
Significant number of grants, however, the dollars that are available for administration of those funds. And since we've not seen the application, we don't know, but they generally are no more than 5% of the total dollars available for administration of the grants. And mind you, this is an additional burden because it does require that we do things to receive the grant and to report back on those grants. There is another possibility. Where
would the grants pay for these positions, or would they just pay a little bit for them?
Madam Chair, Senator Trow, the grants would not pay for these positions. There is another area that I can mention. The bill in Section 20 does discuss revenue to the Department of Education for those charter schools which the department sponsors only. And that return of dollars to the Department of Education would allow 50% of the 20% of the ADMW, approximately $460 per K-8 student and $115 per 9-12 student. If you look at the average size of a school, you might be looking at approximately $46,000. You have to remember, however, that these are the charter schools that are sponsored by the state board. And the responsibilities increase considerably with those charter schools because we have responsibility, full responsibility of oversight and additional payroll responsibilities and that sort of thing. So you really are not looking at revenue flowing back for anything except a possibility of a federal grant program and state-sponsored charter schools through the appeal process.
So it's safe to say that there would be an additional, if you had to have the positions, which you have to have probably, that there would be an additional cost, and that would be a general fund cost.
Madam Chair, Senator Trow, it is very clear to us, and that is why we prepared the fiscal impact statement as we have, that there would be definitely this cost to the department.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I will, Madam Chairman. I move the Education Subcommittee recommend to the full Ways and Means Committee that it send the bill to the Senate with a recommendation that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass the bill.
Okay. Motion is before us that the Education Subcommittee recommend to the full Ways and Means Committee that it send the bill to the Senate with a recommendation that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass the bill.
Madam Chair, I would ask the Senator, when the bill gets back with this recommendation and somebody asks, well, how are we going to pay for it, what are you going to say? I'm going to say, and when we look at the Oregon Department of Education's budget, we'll give them some more money. We'll know better then if we're going to have 10 grants or none, or we will ask them to take it out of their existing budget.
Any other questions?
I'm going to cut her with the motion with sort of the understanding that this is really the Senate's decision as a body. So I guess I'm kind of, it's really procedural vote in this thing.
Along those lines, I will vote for the motion to send it back to the Senate, but with the understanding that I have a personal view that I may not be in favor of charter school, but I reserve my right to express that on the Senate floor. Senator
Hartung, any closing remarks?
No, only that I am most anxious to have this back on the floor of the Senate for the kind of discussion that we will have, whether to concur or not concur.
Okay. Would the clerk like to call the roll?
Representative
Roth? Aye.
Representative
Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Leonard?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Jackson?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Miller? Aye. Senator
Dorsey? Aye. Senator Nelson? Aye. Representative
Dennis? Aye. Motion
carried.
Do you want to make
an announcement? As you did well on higher ed, you have Monday off.
Monday off? Monday off.
Monday off. Oh, it's Monday off. I have a cup of coffee. Monday off?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're the head of the work. Hey, you know.